Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining or logging on here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio, where today is Tuesday, and as I always indicate, today is where we do the segment, or when we do the segment, basically entitled From the Pulpit to the Couch, where you will receive biblical teachings from Pastor Dana Stell from Higher Dominion Worship Center, along with Jeanette Abney, a licensed marriage family therapist. Now, today's topic is one of those topics that a lot of individuals really don't want to talk about. Really, we don't want to deal with it. I'm going to say most of us, because we don't know how to deal with it. We don't know what to do. Now, whether you are a believer or a non-believer, whether you are Christian, Buddhist, Catholic, atheist, whatever your religious denomination is, this is a topic that crosses no socioeconomic status, racial status, or anything like that, because it has to do with suicide and also how the church views suicide. Now, when we start talking about this taboo subject, it's one of those things, like I said, we talk about suicide, and, you know, there's a scene when we start talking about life and death, or, you know, how does the church view suicide? What is their perception of it? Now, in regards to the church, suicide and mental health is a very necessary conversation, meaning it's something that we really need to talk about, because when it comes to mental health, it can impact nearly every moment of one's life. So it's not something that we should take for granted. It also has an impact on others, your family, your work employees, or the people you work with, your neighbors, including people that you fellowship and worship with. Now, for some individuals, life struggles, whatever it may be, is manageable for some, as some people may be able to function, some people may be able to just live their lives like there's nothing going on. But for others, individuals may have decided, contemplated, attempted, and may have succeeded in taking their own life. So suicide is no joke. Now, there was a study conducted, and such indicated that 76% of churchgoers agreed that suicide was a problem that needs to be proactively addressed in their local community. And 84% agreed that churches have a responsibility to provide resources and support to individuals with mental health and to their families. What are your views? Do you know the warning signs of suicide? How can the church meet one's need? So we have a first caller on the line, so let me log this person on, and I'm still waiting on the pastor. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Hello?
Number ending in, hi, this is Jeanette. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay.
This is Carla.
And, you know what? I am so glad you called in, because if you wouldn't have called in, I was going to tell you I got skills. I was going to find you. You know, there's an old saying. I know you don't know me. They say don't talk about it, be about it. And, you know, if when I look and I read a lot of the things that's on the Facebook page on Church Talk, mm-hmm. I like a lot of the things that you guys be talking about. And so I try to, like, when we talked about the show last week, I don't know if you listened to it, and I kind of tapped in on some of the conversation. And it was interesting because the pastor that was on the air knows Tonex, so that was interesting. So I'm glad you called in. Thank you for being obedient. I'm still waiting on the pastor to chime in on this subject if he wants to talk about this. So if you're out there listening and you want to call in and join us on a conversation like our special guest just did, because I was still waiting on her with her comment, give us a call, 516-387-1914. Again, we have to be respectful because suicide is a very sensitive subject. Something that happens to people, and a lot of times we don't understand why. Now, I want to first start off, before I even have the caller that called in talk, because I do want to ask if I can read her comments, Well, I want to give you guys some information in regards to depression and understanding depression. And even myself, as a licensed marriage and family therapist, I have five locations that I work out of. I'm in Orange County, Riverside County, San Diego County, and I will probably be going to Los Angeles County soon, too, because I need to go back to my roots in Compton. Now, when we start talking about mental health is one of those issues that a lot of people do not know how to reach out and tell someone, hey, I need help, I need someone to talk to. Individuals used to say people was crazy. Now we say that you're crazy if you don't get some help, because help is out there and there are people who care. But when we talk about understanding depression and what are some of the signs, if you have felt any of these symptoms nearly every day for 2 weeks or longer, you may have clinical depression and not just common sadness. Because yesterday we talked about the holiday blues, we talked about sadness, but if you have depressed moods, feeling sad, tearful, irritable, or easily agitated or angered, little interest in pleasures and activities that you used to enjoy, increase or decrease in appetite or weight, sleeping much more or much less than usual, restlessness or decreased activity, fatigue or loss of energy, feelings of worthlessness or guilt, difficulties concentrating or making decisions, thoughts of death or suicide, or persistent negative thoughts. Those are just some of the signs. Now, sometimes depression can manifest itself as anxiety, with symptoms such as trouble sleeping, tense feeling, preoccupation with unpleasant or irrational worries, or fear that something awful might happen. Depression is treatable, and the first step is to seek help. Now, how do you pronounce your name again? Is it Kyla?
Carla.
Okay, Carla. Now, I'm going to text the pastor and find out where he's at, but in the meantime, so we go talk. When I was looking at Facebook today, and I saw something, and it was a comment, because it was still going on to suicide and all that other stuff. You made a comment. And it was an interesting comment, and I wanted you to share your thoughts on that. Now, let's talk a little bit about that. What is your thoughts in regards to suicide and the church?
I think basically people don't take responsibility for their own actions and their decisions, and they think life is supposed to be a bed of carnations, not even roses, because roses have thorns. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, he said, endure hardness like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. As such, there is no time to be sorrowful, no time to fall short of the grace of God. There's no time to feel sorry for yourself or pity party because life didn't go the way you planned, or that you haven't experienced the joys that you think you should have earned to enjoy. As such, I believe life is a series of different events, and as such, a lot of people don't take responsibility for their own actions. For instance, if you're being bullied, I was bullied when I was growing up, and instead of, you know, fighting someone or telling the teacher, I went to the assistant principal and I explained I'm being bullied. They were resolved and apologized to me. And so like with church, if you're being bullied, who do you go to? At the church where you're being abused? Do you stay where they're mistreating you? No, you take actions like as an adult and a mature, responsible person, you walk away from that particular situation and you don't handle yourself in a violent manner. You don't bash them. You just say, you know, good riddance and move on with your life. It's like a weakness that's not dealt with because they're not strong enough to understand that if someone is hurting you verbally, you need to address that and move on from that particular area of discomfort.
Gotcha. Now, I have a question. Where do you think that thought came from as far as it being a weakness?
Well, I feel like... For me, I had a particular family member that committed suicide, and she didn't believe in God, and she was an atheist and very well-respected doctor in her field, and she went to Yale and all these other things, but at the end of the day, it was her decision to not cope with life. I feel like she couldn't handle the stress of life as a day-to-day experience. Mm-hmm. You felt life was bad and that people were evil and inherently evil and that there's no God because people were suffering. And I figured mm-hmm. she didn't know how to enjoy life. She didn't know how to take the good. She didn't know how to, she wasn't grateful for the good things. She wasn't mm-hmm. grateful for the stuff that was positive. She was weak in her mind and concerning gratefulness. She was bitter and angry and resentful and hateful, and she committed mm-hmm. suicide. So I look at individuals like that and I say, okay, well, you're not the strong person because you can't understand that there are good things in life. Like, you woke up today, you're breathing. There are mm-hmm. people in the hospital that can't walk, can't talk. They're on a respirator. Mm-hmm. They're bedridden. You understand? So mm-hmm. they're just ungrateful for the ability to make another day happen, that God has given mm-hmm. them the ability to live another day. So if they feel like they're being bashed and harassed and they want to commit suicide, they have to look at themselves and say, why do I feel this way? Why am I feeling this way? They should take internal mm-hmm. responsibility.
Got you. Now, you know what? And I'm going to say this because I don't know where you grew up from, and I'm going to ask you that question. Where did you grow up at? Because I grew up in Compton, California. And I learned a lot. And I learned more from watching. And even as a therapist, and I have to challenge myself because that's what kind of connected me with you when I saw the comment that you made. And part of it was because I kind of viewed individuals like that for a long time because I didn't know any better, but it wasn't with suicide. And it was just because I'm also the owner of the Center for the Treatment of Addiction, which is an outpatient counseling center. And mm-hmm. I'm not a recovering addict or drug addict. So most people think that most individuals that work in this field are recovering drug addicts, but I tell individuals, I used to throw onions and grapefruits at crackheads. I didn't understand why people use drugs, and I couldn't understand why people drink. I tell individuals, first of all, I eat too much and smoke some weed, so if I smoke some weed, I might weigh 400 pounds. I'm already paranoid, and I can tweak whenever I want to, tweak, turd, or whatever, so I don't need no methamphetamine. I'm scared to death of needles, and I don't go to sleep whenever I want to, so I don't need heroin. And I had violent tendencies, and I've never seen a drunk win a fight. So I viewed it as a sign of weakness. But then when I became the owner of this company and got fired 3 times in 1 year and had to work for my own self, I had to do assessment. Well, first of all, the first job I ever got making the best money I did, it was working for Orange County doing assessments and evaluations for nonviolent drug offenders. So I said, you know what, God got jokes. He really got a sense of humor. Because I had to mm-hmm. sit in rooms with individuals for 3 hours per client to find out why people use drugs and alcohol. Because to me, I thought it was a sign of weakness. Because I felt if you have a problem, when your high comes down, your problem still exists. So that was me. Those were my thoughts. And even with depression, I don't play with depression. And now I'm getting better. Even as a therapist, because I tell my other therapists, I'd be like, look, you got to work with this person. I can't do this. Because I would rather work with a person that's angry, aggressive, that is homicidal versus one that's suicidal. But now I'm learning that individuals are people. And when you start talking about a mental health issue, you talk about depression, sometimes they may not see the forest for the trees because of life circumstances. So that energy, that, you know, charisma that we have, that fight, flight, I'm going to do what I got to do, everybody don't have that. And I had to learn, even from my daughter, she would tell me, Mom, everybody's not you, because I'm not afraid of nothing I can see. And even when I was working on my master's degree, I remember taking a class, and the teacher told us to close our eyes and think of a time when we wanted to just end it all and kill ourselves. And I didn't close my eyes. So the teacher told me that I did participate. I said, yes, I did. She said, you never felt like killing yourself? I said, ma'am, I'm not suicidal. I'm homicidal. I believe in killing the person that made me mad. What the hell am I killing myself for? You pissed me off. You got to die. I'm not dying. And that was my mindset. And so that's what attracted me to your comment when you said, wimpy Christians, but everybody don't think like that. And so sometimes, and I've learned, even as a therapist, you have to connect before you can correct, because some people are dealing with some life challenges, whether they lost their job, and it probably didn't have nothing to do with them, because I don't, when I lost my, you know, I bought a company. and they told me it was a conflict of interest. And I bought the company for my daughter. I didn't realize when I bought the company my whole life was going to change, but it did. But I couldn't give up. So,
yeah.
Sometimes,
conflict
you know, it was
of
like,
interest.
It was a conflict of interest. I was like, what the hell is that? But the bottom line is, we have to do better. We have to learn to understand. And see, I come from a family where individuals have committed suicide, and it pissed me off. And even like I was telling someone, I was looking at a Facebook post, and the woman was singing Midnight Train to Georgia. I got tired of my mama and her depression and her suicide thoughts. So I was like, you know, I'm going to push you in front of a train if you don't shut up. You know, but that was me. That was me. And I have to tell people, if somebody ever say Jeanette committed suicide, that's a lie. If they say Jeanette killed somebody, maybe I did. But I'm not going to kill me. But suicide is actually a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And when we start talking about the church, and people are hurt and they are wounded, I got people coming into my office, you want to talk, you want to help me with this one? Oh, no, you ain't got nothing to say. You ain't got nothing to say about suicide in church. But people are hurt, people are wounded, and when people are grieving and they love, they want to relieve or some type of release from that pain. And a lot of times, even when we talk about self-mutilating behaviors, and when an individual is self-mutilating, we say, oh, they're trying to kill themselves. Oh, they want some attention. That's not always it. So sometimes we have to learn to pay attention, know the warning signs, and to listen to individuals. Now, if a person is stood up, like my son got this thing where he be trying this all the time. He told me one day, when he called me, I do like Steve Harvey. I may not answer the phone or return your phone call for about 2 weeks. So by then, you done figured out what the heck you wanted or what you going to do. You done made a way. So one day, my son called me, and he said, Mom, I called you because I was going to kill myself. I said, oh, for real? I said, who paying for this? I said, did you tell your kids? I said, you got everything taken care of? And I know he was offended by what I was saying, but I wasn't going to feed into that. But he knows that suicide is not a way out. Because when you're trying and you're talking about this, you are hurting other people because you're hurting. And hurt people will hurt others. So it looks like we have the pastor on the line. So he can answer some of your questions.
Hello?
Okay, wait a minute, good. I'm waiting on the thing to go. Okay, it's just spinning. So I guess the pastor will be on in a minute because this looks like his phone number. So as long as it keeps spinning, I guess he will be on.
Here we are. Unmuted.
Okay, are you
unmuted
on there,
now? Yes, I'm glad I'm here because you're on a roll.
I am on a roll.
Lord, let me get in here.
Please do, because the thing is spinning, and I'm trying to take you over the mute thing. I don't know what's going on. Okay. Thank you, Pastor, for joining us. And I'm glad that I have this young lady on the phone because she was on Facebook this morning, and we were going back and forth on church talk as it relates to suicide. And she had posted something, and she said something about we need to stop being wimpy Christians. So I said, can you just give me a description of a wimpy Christian? So I asked her to call in, and she was obedient, and she did call in. So I want to acknowledge her and her courage because I was going to show find her because I wanted to know what she meant by wimpy Christian. So, Pastor, in this statement, and like I said, it took me forever to remember the topic, so thank you for getting back with me because every time I said I kept listening to the show, I kept falling asleep because I didn't know what the topic was. So, Pastor, let's start with the opening in regards to suicide in the church.
Well, first off, we have to address it, and we have to understand that it's real. And so what we have to understand is that, as we've talked about on different shows, Christians are at different levels. In the book of Matthew, you know, we talk about 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Believers, as it pertains to gifting, calling, has to deal with their life, what they're dealing with, the situation they've been born into, how they handle crises, how they've been developed, because there's newborn believers who come into the kingdom and with a lot of issues. And then there are believers who have been brought up in the church, and as they mature, they go through different changes through life. And so said all of that to say that it's a case-by-case scenario. We can't put everyone into the same bag. And so what we have to understand is that just like any other issue we deal with in the church, this is not one to be swept under the rug. This is one to understand now, because we have 21st century issues that are coming along too. And so what we have now, the advent of social media, we have a lot of people that are being cyberbullied. We have a lot of people whose business is being put out there. Okay, with the advent of technology, we have people who are losing their jobs that they've had for a long time. And then, as we've discussed on another show before, delay doesn't mean denial. And so some people have difficulties dealing with not receiving their answers in the time that they expected to in regards to a plethora of issues. Mainly dealing with relationships, mainly dealing with finances, okay, and then dealing with careers. And so we have a lot of issues that take place, and the church is not exempt from that. And so what we have, and those are the things that we have to keep in mind. Now, in regards to comments you made earlier, is that personality-wise, it just doesn't fit some people that this is a mode of self-destruct for them, and we understand that. And so what those people have to keep in mind is that not everybody is built the same. So you have other issues that some people don't, or I'm going to use the word struggles. And so what we have to understand is that though you may be strong in an area, you have to empathize with people who aren't as strong in an area, and that's what we learn as believers, what the Bible says. And so what we have to understand is that we pray for each other's faults. We pray for each other's weaknesses. And so we have to handle them with the love of Christ, okay? And we have to take them all as being serious. And so that's the mindset. And then being specific to the topic that we're dealing with today is that it's in the church and it's happening. We had in the last year, hear me, callers, we've had 3 mega pastors commit suicide.
I never knew.
So when people say the terms and when people say it's not real, these are pastors who supposedly have made it. They have over 10,000 members. They have money coming from everywhere. They're on TV, you know, and 2 of them didn't have to build their ministries. They inherited the ministries from their fathers, from their parents. And so you have a silver platter laid upon them. And me investigating in front of the rug or read the story and let it go. And what I found out in both cases is that both of these young men were dealing with depression in a serious way, where that depression will come up on them in a debilitating circumstance, where that if they missed taking their medication, the chemical imbalance was such that the darkness seemed incomprehensible to them. And so also hearing the testimony from their spouses saying that it would sometimes take them days and weeks to pull them from the dark places. What we have to understand is that I had to pray and say, Lord, give me understanding, because, you know, I'm an A-type personality. I don't need, you know, I wake up with joy. I'm ready to go, but, you know. And that's not one of my issues. I celebrate life. I love life. And I want abundant life. And there's people who are dealing with this issue that we have to say, Lord, give us insight. And so we have to educate ourselves on the issue rather than just giving them a zero, just saying, well, they were weak, or, well, they, you know. No, there's more to it than that. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he knows how to get to us. And what we have to understand is that we have to fortify ourselves. And then when we find people who are weak in areas, you know, that we find, like, you know, just as I said earlier, then we have to surround them with prayer, and we have to learn how to identify the signs. This is real important, when they're getting ready to go into that cycle. And that's what one of the wives of this pastor said. The enemy distracted me. Normally I could tell when he was getting ready to go into a bout of depression, and we would attack it with love, with peace. Mm-hmm. But what happened was she was distracted. Issues with her family, issues with her mom, and the enemy was very strategic in attacking this man and this pastor in Northern California. I'm not going to say his name right now, but this is what we have to understand, because in more than 80% of suicide cases with believers, it was at times when they were isolated. It was at times when their parents or their support system was distracted and pulled away. And this was a very strategic plan by the enemy to attack people, to snuff out their potential, to remove their gifts from the kingdom. And that's why it's so important for us to understand this, to learn how to see the signs if we have these individuals around us. And when we have them around us, we have to know that God has placed us in a strategic position to help be a support system. And so, and then we can go at it different ways. You know, you had me laughing the way that you were telling your son, but you know your son, Jeanette, and you know how to handle him. And so, those are all the things we have to keep in mind. I know I'm saying a lot for coming out with this statement, but there was a lot covered. There was a lot I listened to before I had the chance to jump in. So,
yeah, and you know what? And I appreciate that, because I'm going to tell you, Pastor, I had to learn. And that's true. And I heard the caller say, I didn't know that. And that's why I'm glad she called, because when I read her comment, I wanted to help her with that, because it is a mindset. And some people don't handle crisis very well. Because, see, I've always been one that's a go-getter, and when it comes to a crisis, I got this. Because that's what it was, a learn. I had to learn how to do that. I had to learn not to see individuals as weak. I had to learn that I was different. But by that same token, I had to also know and learn not to beat other people up. So like I said, God has a definite sense of humor. He really do. And even getting these phone calls that I get from clients, I'd be like, Lord, I don't want to deal with depression, because I don't want that spirit on me, because I know my personality. I'm in here laughing and joking, and they don't want to hear all of that. But I see, and I had to have a come to Jesus moment. I was like, you know what? These individuals are in crisis, and they need my help. So now I'm okay, now I got to see them. And even if I only see you one time, I may say something, I may do something, I may leave you with something to make you want to choose life. Now,
well, you're bringing it to. Go ahead.
No, what was you going to say?
Well, you were bringing it to my next point, where we have to, as believers, understand that God works in many ways. And so praying is not just enough. It's diagnosis, and it's follow through. And so I've had individuals as a pastor that I've had to help with depression, but I've also recommended them to therapists. So not only pastoral counseling, but therapy. And then there's other individuals where myself as a pastor and a therapist deem that, okay, there's a chemical imbalance, so they also need a prescription, medication.
Yes.
And that's what we have to see. It's not, sometimes it's not a one prayer fix all or a counseling fix all, because everybody's different. And the last thing that we want to do is misdiagnose. Misdiagnose by either saying, you know, this worked for this person, or misdiagnose by saying that, oh, you should be stronger than that, you can handle that. And what we have to understand is that for some individuals, when you say that, what you've done is just added more pressure to them.
Yes.
And what you've done is put more guilt on them, because now they're saying it's another reason that the enemy uses to tell them why they shouldn't be here. And so we have to be careful. We really have to be careful how we speak to people and how we deal with individuals. And what we have to do is that we have to pray to God, pray to the Holy Spirit to prepare us, to get us ready, before mm-hmm. we deal with somebody who's dealing with this spirit. That's
correct.
My third point, is that
okay.
is that suicide is a spirit. It is a demonic
is.
Presence. It's a powerful spirit. I've felt it on people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it try to come upon me, you know. But
mm-hmm.
the Lord gave me strength. You know, it was not something that was going to, you know, penetrate
mm-hmm.
me or take me to a position. But the Lord allowed me to experience depression and to experience the onside of it and know how to handle and how to talk to and how to speak to someone as a pastor and guide them to the scriptures to seek help on
mm-hmm.
it.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like when we say that the Lord don't give you no more than he can bear. I remember you said that one time I went to the altar and I said, God, you got me confused with somebody else because this is too much stuff. I don't want to deal with all this. But, you know, and humor helps. And we got to be careful what we say. And also with discernment. I was talking to somebody the other day and Teddy was in my office and she kept looking at me and I kept rubbing my face because I was like, I don't know what to say, when to say it, how to say it. Because there's a time and a place for everything, and you got to know what to say, what not to say to a person when they're at their lowest of their lowest. Because sometimes
right.
it can look like life is great for them, and they can, and it's not about money, it's not about car, it's not about any of that. Because people have taken their lives and they were rich. Especially if you look at Robin Williams and a lot
yeah.
of comedians and movie stars, and you know had it going on, and they just killed themselves, took their own life. Because like you said, the chemical imbalance. But one of the things is even with the discernment of knowing when to say and when not to say nothing, but I kept rubbing my face, and I said it, and I looked at this person, and I asked the person, I said, did you tell your husband you want to die? She looked at me, and I couldn't hold it in. In this room,
mm-hmm.
we sitting there, and nobody picked up the fact that this woman was suicidal but me. And she
yeah.
broke down and started crying, but we had to address that. Because if we didn't address it, she could have went home and her life because
uh-huh.
nobody paid attention. So I think you got background
right.
noise. Now, I want to ask the caller who on the line, because I'm going to tell you what she
uh-huh.
said, Pastor, and then I'm going to let it speak. This morning when I was posting about the radio show, she said, he said, hardness like, he said, hardness is like a good soldier. In 2 Timothy 2:3, she said, nope, it's allowed. So when she said, no whipping Christians allowed, you know me and my personality. I said, please describe a whipping Christian. I said, and can I share your comment on the radio today? I would love for you to call in. I am a therapist, and that is a new one for me. Now, don't be wimpy. She said, will do. She said, a wimpy Christian is simply one not able to contend to the faith. A wimpy Christian is one who chooses to live half for God and half for themselves. And women, I just got a call. And then she said, a wimpy Christian is one who doesn't read their Bible. You can't feed your faith or your spirit on spiritual junk food like Joe Osteen or T.D. Jake or Gray Cindy Trim. And then she said, the please your eyes and ears, making you believe your best life now. Joe Osteen, get ready. Get ready, all you haters. All you're going to see, make it. T.D. Jake, incumbent, your husband, John Gray. And the last but not least, God called me to be single, but tomorrow he called me to be married. Cindy Trim, foolishness, pure foolishness. Now I'm going to ask you now, caller, what you got to say to
me. Oh, Lord.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you, okay?
Okay.
Well,
okay. What you got to say? Because I know you said you didn't know. Because when you know better, you do better. But what are your thoughts in regards to them? Because I'm glad you called in. I really am. I truly
yeah.
appreciate you. And this is not to put you on the spot, but
mm-hmm.
sometimes we have to change the way or look at the way and explore the way, where is this coming from? And I heard
yeah.
you say something about someone in your family had committed suicide. And I don't know
yeah.
if you've ever dealt with that, if you grieve, if you're still angry at that person, because I know that was my mindset growing up as a kid when I saw that. I was like, why are you feeling this way over a relationship? Ain't no way I'm going to kill myself over no man. You know,
mm-hmm.
so I know that's where mine came from. But what is your thoughts in regards to all of this now, based on hearing what me and the pastor are saying in regards to this topic?
Well, I agree. I think we should be a little more compassionate. I think maybe if we took a different stance, with my aunt who died, I think things would have been a little differently. But we coped with it. She was seeing a doctor. She was on medication. We did everything we could for her, but she just wouldn't change her mind.
Mm-hmm.
Let me address some of the things she was talking about. Some of the things that she was mentioning is this happens, is that, and it has to deal with carnality, and that's what I want her to understand. It's not being a wimpy Christian; it's a carnal Christian, and the definition is one that is trying to be worldly and trying to be a Christian at the same time. And so, the issue that we're dealing with in regards to being saved, being a Christian, and then Christians having to battle with thoughts of suicide, and then having loved ones that have committed suicide, is a different topic altogether. And what we're dealing with is that we are being specific believers in the kingdom, and so you are going to have Christians that deal with carnality, and then that's a maturity issue, okay? But then when we speak on the level of someone in a very, very strong position, and what I'm qualifying my answer by stating that people who are really dealing with this and struggling with this issue mentally, because I have had several people, and so have you, Jeanette, who are playing, and I want to say that lightly, because they'll say that because they want attention, and they really have no attention. They're committing suicide. They're not dealing with that, but they know how to manipulate people. They know how to have people feel sorry for them. And people will use that as a card to get attention and try to get their way and try to garner sympathy from other people. And so that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people who are actually dealing with this actual spirit of suicide. And so for the caller, I want her to understand is that just as we gave example of high-level people and people who seem to have a lot going for them, it's a mental issue, and to be dealt with by professionals, by doctors, and with serious diagnosis. And how the kingdom is to respond to it is to show love, kindness, and to show prayer, and to be grateful that's not your demon. Be grateful that's not your attack, because a lot of these people have had a lot of close calls. The pastor I mentioned earlier had 8 or 9 close calls where he had came close several times. And family members helped him and caught him. And he'd been to the hospital, got to the hospital just in time. And they thought that they were past this point, and they thought they were beyond this now. And then what we have to understand is that these things come back stronger. They come back stronger. Yeah. They come back more potent. They come back more potent. And what we have to understand is that we have to deal with this on an individual basis and find what is going to be the connection with that individual that gets them to the point of true deliverance. And that's what we have to understand.
And you know what, Pastor? And a lot of times in dealing with the church, I attended a workshop, and it was called Mental Health 911, and there was a guy, there was the Halifa, and we connected very well. And one of the things that he was doing, and they even had a grant out several years ago with the state of California for individuals to offer trainings to 30 churches in order to prepare the congregation to be aware of suicide prevention, what to do, how to handle it, because a lot of people don't know what to do. So I want to put this out there, and it says, if you know someone in crisis, call the toll-free National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, and the number is 1-800-273-TALK. It is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The service is available to everyone. The deaf and the hard of hearing can contact Lifeline. They got a TDY at 1-800-799-4889. All calls are confidential. And you can also contact our social media outlets directly if you're concerned about a friend's social media update, dial 911 in an emergency, and learn more on, they have the website that that's available. But, you know, we have to educate ourselves about that because, first of all, talking about what is suicide, is when people direct violence at themselves with the intent to end their lives, and they die because of their actions. It is best to avoid using the term like committing suicide or successful suicide when referring to a death by suicide, as these terms often carry negative connotations. Now, a suicide attempt is when people harm themselves with the intent to end their lives, but they do not die because of their actions. Because I've heard of individuals attempting suicide but didn't die, where they've had multiple attempts. Now, who is at risk? Suicide does not discriminate. People of all gender, ages, ethnicities can be at risk. And the main risks for suicide are, one, prior suicide attempts, depression and other mental health disorders, substance abuse disorders, family history of mental health or substance abuse disorders, family history of suicide, family violence, including physical or sexual abuse, having guns or other firearms in the home, being in prison or jail, being exposed to other suicidal behaviors, such as family members, peers, or media figures, medical illnesses, and being between the ages of 15 and 24 and over the age of 60. And also sexuality plays a part. And even among people who are at risk factors of suicide, most do not attempt suicide. It remains difficult to predict who will act on their thoughts. Because the thought you have to do is called a suicide assessment. And when we're talking about the church, pastor, and being a pastor, what can the church do? Because a lot of times people run to the church. When I was getting my information, I saw that Catholics had a different viewpoint when you're talking about the death of a member of a person that committed suicide. And one of my mentors, her name is Pat, she was also a pastor, and she passed. Her name was Sarah Porter. And she was a foster care provider, and that's how we met. One of the girls that I used to work with, she committed suicide, and when I went to her funeral, she got high on purple salvia and marijuana. She went aboard the overpass of the 60 freeway in Moreno Valley and jumped off the freeway. And when I went to her funeral, people were sad, and I of course had this look on her face because we was always thought that if you commit suicide, you're going to hell. Now, then she shared and put a spin on it. What is the church view in regards to that? Because I was reading and getting different, and I understand, you know, from my perspective, but what do you want the listeners to know how the church views suicide?
Yeah, well, I'm going to answer that first, and I'm going to go back to one of the points you made. There's different views. There's a pastoral, a theological view, and then there's a view from lay members, you know, and then from people who don't have an understanding. And so the first thing that you said is that was so powerful because the churches need so much teaching and so much revelation on this topic. And so much so, so much so that it needs to be done now. Yeah, I hear that. It needs to be done now. And the reason why is because this is a generational curse. Not just that there's fallout that applies to this also. And then also up on the topic of this, there's different types. So to be specific in regards to the first part of the question is that we don't know the last thoughts of the individual. We don't know their relationship with God. That's individual, okay? And we don't know their last words and their last mindset. And so the Bible speaks specifically that the unpardonable sin is to transgress against the Holy Spirit, okay? That is to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. That is to know thing you need to know about God, his loving power, his regenerative love, to know everything about God in regards to salvation, and then to say, no, I clearly do not want that. I clearly understand that is a total, complete rejection. That is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. That's not suicide, people. So I want to put that out there to have people understand that. Can a person in that state commit suicide? Yes, they can. But that in itself of a definition is not. And that's what I want people to understand, because a lot of people think that just because somebody committed suicide that they blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And that's not technically correct. It depends on, we weren't there, you know, we don't know their last mm-hmm. words. We don't know what happened. We don't know the full situation. And we don't know how the Holy Spirit was dealing with them at the time, okay? And what we have to do is always just try to have the best interest of people in mind, to pray for them, and to use it not as a statement to dictate where a person is, but use it mm-hmm. as power to yourself to realize how powerful Satan is, and to realize that how precious life is. That's why I always tell people to view it. Loved ones who are dealing with the fallout, okay? Children, family members, different ones who've had a loved one take themselves out by suicide. Mm-hmm. I've always had them to take it as a learning experience, to take this as a place to know how precious life is, how valuable your relationship with God is, and then to also take as much as you can from the experience to help someone else. God didn't give mm-hmm. you this experience. God didn't give you this knowledge, this situation for it to just pass. It's going mm-hmm. to be used. It's going to be valuable at some point for someone else. And I've had several people who said, Pastor, you are correct. This has. I was able to help someone else. I was able to be there for someone else. And it's very important. I want to get back to the first part of that I started with is that I really do wish Christians would do more research before they open their mouths, before mm-hmm. they give an opinion, before they give their 2 cents and put their 2 cents on something as powerful and as tragic as a topic as this, because we really haven't put enough value into it yet as a church. And it's one of those issues that we're just now coming to grips with in regards to the church as a whole, just as we are with sexuality. And mm-hmm. and these two come hand to hand, because the people who are taking themselves out and committing suicide because they're dealing with sexual issues are oftentimes in their last words is saying that no one would hear me. No one had understanding. No one was accepting. Everyone just had harsh words, and everyone just had criticism. No one was coming with love. And because you love someone, because you're listening, doesn't mean that you have to identify with something or that you agree with something. It just means that you're open, okay, to show love to save a life. You're valuing mm-hmm. that person's experience. And for mm-hmm. a lot of people, that's what's most important, that they're saying that you may not see all my points, but you're valuing my experience in this exercise that I'm dealing with to see that it's not just trivial and that mm-hmm. it's not just something that I'm going to grow out of and get over. It's been about 6 or 7 months ago, Jeanette, that we talked about this young man. He was 19, in college, mm-hmm. in college, a Christian young man. Both of his parents are seasoned Christians, and they could not understand mm-hmm. how their son committed suicide. It wasn't until the mother and the father had a heart-to-heart, and I was one of their pastors, and we talked about it as individuals, where they realized where they wanted their son to live the life that they've set for him and not the life mm-hmm. that he had. And then when he came to them to talk to them and tell them what he was dealing with and what he was struggling with, it was the same type of answer, oh, boy, gone somewhere. read your Bible,
yep.
sit down, you know, you instead of taking it serious. And they
mm-hmm.
did not realize how much it was going to impact their life until
Correct.
They got the phone call that he was gone.
Right.
Okay.
And then they had to deal with the sibling.
Yes.
Correct. I want to add something to that before we get further into the conversation, because there's two things that's coming to mind as you're speaking. And for those listeners that are out there, is one, I'll show you. Secondly, nobody cares. And those
yes.
are sometimes the things, that the thoughts and the feelings that's going on in that person's head is I'll show you, or don't nobody care. You know, I'm not important.
Right.
And your life matters. It really do. And I like what you said. And like I said, I had attended the training. I got a lot of that information, too, if you want to share it. And, you know, I'm qualified to do the training because I still got my certification in regards to being able to provide that training. Because it taught me a lot about, even though I'm a therapist, but it taught me a lot about the warning signs, the different types of mental health issues. Because in the church, we bring a lot of individuals or a lot of these issues to the church. And the church sometimes is not equipped for that. They don't know what to do when they're looking at these different things. And there are risk factors and there are warning signs. And I found some information, and it talks about in regards to a necessary conversation, because it is necessary. And it says the church is for the broken. A church without the broken is a broken church, meaning no church is perfect. And we have to be able to identify these different things. And in regards to the caller's defense, I want to say, when we're talking about understanding these things, when I was listening to her talk, she was speaking about a lot of the environmental factors of why individuals
yes.
commit suicide, because she didn't really know the health factors. And with the environmental factors, when she was talking about WIMPY, is stressful life events, including depression, the forced separation or job loss. Prolonged stress, including harassment, bullying, relationship problems, financial difficulties, access to lethal means, including firearms and drugs. So those are environmental. But there's also historical factors that apply. And like I said, if we have to learn how with individuals, or we hear them say that they're being a burden to others, that they feel trapped, they're talking about feeling hopelessness, helplessness, experiencing unbearable pain, there's no reason to live, and poor problem-solving skills, these things are real, and that is how they feel. So we have to listen, we have to validate, and do not tell people get over it. That's the one thing,
right.
Or I understand how you feel.
Well, we have to be careful with what we say
and sometimes listen.
Yeah. This is what I tell people is that to the people who are experiencing this and dealing with depression, there's a loud voice inside their head, and that voice is deceiving, it's conniving, it's destructive. But if the positive influence, being parents, being pastors, being church members, have nothing nice to say, that voice becomes clarity. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because when the voices who are, be it a brother or sister, be it a parent, be it a pastor, has no understanding, has no compassion, has no direction, has no insight, and we're the positive voices. And if we're not strengthening them to overcome the negative voices of suicide, that force, we're not helping. And that voice
Correct.
Becomes amplified, and everything that voice has been endorsing becomes truth. See, I told you
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't listen. See, I told you they wouldn't understand. See, I told you that they were going to call you weak. See, I told you that this was going to be their response and their reaction. And what we have
mm-hmm.
to understand is that we have to show love. We have to listen. We have to be there. We have to get them stronger. We got to get them down to A, B, C, D, E, F, G, to a real strong place to where we can tell them, now you're stronger than that. Now you can handle that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we're ready to take you to the next step. And then,
mm-hmm.
if we're not the personality, if we're not the connection that they need, or the lifeline, let me use that term, then we need to step out of the way. Then have your voice be in the form of prayer.
Mm-hmm. That is true. And it's interesting you said that, Pastor, because that's where I was. I tried to step out of the way of it because I told one person one day, I said, you may need to talk to Teddy because Teddy's nicer than me. So that was my way of like, okay, go talk to her because she's nicer. And I'm able to identify that, but I have to get better with that because I understand my strong personality too. But I also want to say, because I learned something, that even in our different religions, even with the Muslim religion, I had a person tell me that their perception of suicide, and they're taught at a very young age when they're reading the Quran in regards to suicide, they view that differently as a way to see God. So to them, that's not being wimpy. That's basically, you know, being one of honor. So we have different perceptions when it comes to that. Now, I want to ask you again, Kyla, you have any questions that you want to ask the pastor?
No.
Okay. Are you enjoying this dialogue, this conversation?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay.
I want to say to the caller, I'm glad that she called in, and I'm glad she expressed her view, because it's important for us to understand and see these things. And then I want to let the caller know is that from Jeanette's perspective and mine, and you can give your perspective more. I want it's evolution, and what I mean by that is that through learning, knowledge, through experience, our views have changed on certain things, and they don't become less like God; they become more like God. And what happens is the more that you deal with people, like Jesus was a people person. He didn't just want to deal with the hierarchy. He wanted to get in and mix it in with the people. Folks that had demons, folks that had issues, folks that were dying, folks that needed healing, folks that needed an experience that other people had walked away from and washed, and what other people deemed as the trash of society. And what happens is, as you learn more about a subject, as you learn more about an issue, you begin to find yourself. You begin to find family members. You begin to find church members, and you begin to see personality types and individual types, and then you get to understand perspectives. And so when this all comes into play, it doesn't weaken us, it matures us. And so and the Lord ties us and spanks us. I've said a couple of times on the show that even as a young minister, before I became a seasoned pastor, I just dismissed homosexuals. I was like, get away from me. You got a disease. You ain't getting that on me. And not knowing how ignorant that sounds until a close family member of mine came out. And now I had to deal with it. It was in my face. We had family members separating, walking away. We have family members fighting. And then the Lord had to get me in the scriptures and deal with this thing and understand it and first show me my insensitivity, my wrongness. And then the Lord asked me a blunt question. Is the way you acted really like Christ? And I was like, no. And then the Lord had to show me how many people didn't want to talk to me or walk to the other side of the street for me just because I was a black man, didn't know anything about me. You know what I mean? And so we grow and we mature, and then we understand real issues, real people require real prayer and real hands-on individuals that understand how to deal with these particular demons and spirits because they're real.
I agree, Pastor, because like I said, that's where I'm at with the depression, because I know I did not, as a therapist, and I'm in all these phone calls, depression, anxiety. I'm like, are you depressed or do you have anxiety? Which one is it? So I have to now be more sensitive, and I have to help individuals when it comes to that, because I did not want to work with individuals that was dealing with depression. I'm like, I don't want to deal with that. But now the Lord spoke to me, and I have to be more compassionate. I have to be more open-minded. I have to listen. And I'm noticing that it's changing and it's helping a lot of individuals, because the one thing they know is that I do care. I just didn't want to deal with that spirit. Now, Pastor,
yeah.
We got 13 seconds left on the air. How can the individuals find you? What information you want to share with them? And this time I'm going to write down next week's topic. So I won't do like I did yesterday.
I'm Pastor Dan Estelle, and we are at the Higher Dominion Worship Center in the beautiful city of San Marcos. We are at 800 West Mission Road in San Marcos. It's a great time to come fellowship with us at 12:30 noon each Sunday, 7:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. It is the holiday season, and we would love to have you come worship with us. Our next topic is dealing with the true Christmas spirit and the true meaning of Christmas.
Okay. So I want to thank you, listeners, and I want to thank you, young ladies, for listening,
yes,
learning, being open-minded. I appreciate that and your obedience, and hopefully you was able to learn something and take it forward, and it also helps you in regards to what you experienced in your family as it relates to suicide and knowing the warning signs. You may not have been able to save your aunt because that was what she wanted and it had to be what was for her, but you never know. And it's a learning experience. It's a growth moment, and that's where we find our maturity. So until next week, we're going to be talking about dealing with the true spirit of Christmas. So can't wait to have you guys join us here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio, where we talk about from the pulpit to the altar with pulpit to the couch with Pastor Dan Estelle and Jeanette Abney. Until then, remember, you got this. Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.